The epistle for the second Sunday of Advent is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Brethren, whatever things have been written for our instruction, that through the patience and the consolation afforded by the Scriptures, we may have hope. May then the God of patience and of comfort grant you to be of one mind towards one another, according to Jesus Christ, that one in spirit you may with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive one another, even as Christ has received you to the honor of God. For I say that Christ Jesus has been a minister of the circumcision in order to show God's fidelity in confirming the promises made to our fathers, but that the Gentiles glorify God because of his mercy, as it is written, Therefore will I praise thee among the Gentiles and will sing to thy name. And again he says, Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing his praises, all you peoples. And again Isaiah says, There shall be the root of Jesse, and he who shall arise to rule the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Please stand for the gospel. Gospel is taken from the 11th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. At that time when John had heard in prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples to say to him, Are you he who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answering said to them, Go and report to John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not scandalized in me. Then as they went away, Jesus began to say to the crowds concerning John, What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Behold, those who wear soft garments are in the houses of kings. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall make ready thy way before thee. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Reverend Fathers, dear faithful, in the Old Testament, when the Israelites enter into the Promised Land for the first time, they begin this process of conquering the peoples who are there by the command of God. And the first place they conquer is Jericho. You remember the story where they march around the city, the walled city of Jericho, seven times in 7 different days. And then all the walls fall down, and they invade the city and conquer it. The second town that they go to conquer was a town by the name of Hai. And it was also a walled city. There was a lot of walled cities back then. And so they got their troops together, and they attacked the city, and they were defeated. They're like, what's going on? And they went out the next day, attacked the city, were defeated again. And they prayed to God, and they said, God, what's going on? You have commanded us to defeat these peoples, and you're not helping us. We're being defeated. And God told them, it's because you have taken some spoils from Jericho that you are not supposed to keep. And if you destroy those spoils, then you will win. So they did that. They got rid of those forbidden spoils, and they got their army together. And on this third attack, they went towards the city, and they had this plan where when the opposing troops came out, they ran away as they had done before and retreated. But this time they were only pretending to retreat, and there were soldiers placed around the sides of the city who came out, and after the troops had been drawn out, they went inside the city, burned it down, and they gained the victory. This strategy of the Israelites to gain the victory, which the only way they could gain it was through this stratagem, is a symbol of our life. In the book of Job, Job tells us that the life of man is like a warfare on this earth. And sometimes we have to attack life head on. I would say that's the majority of the time we just have to do that. We have to face life head on. But at other times, it's so necessary for us to use the strategy of retreat. So that's what Father Fulton and myself will be doing this week. We're going to be retreating from life and spending time, a whole week, in silence and recollection in order to be able to come back to life, to the head-on battle life, refreshed and able to face it with new spiritual energy. Canon law actually asks priests to do this. It asks nuns to do this. It asks monks to do this. It's a requirement for the priests of the Society of St. Pius X that we go on a retreat every year. For the Third Order members of the Society of St. Pius X, one of the requirements is that they attempt to go on a retreat every few years. And the faithful may ask themselves, why is it that the Church, the Church has the direct command over the priests, the monks, and the nuns. Why is it that she demands this of them? I mean, aren't they doing spiritual things all the time anyway? Isn't their daily life full of spiritual things? Why is it that they have to go to this extra effort to go some place, some retreat house, and spend their time doing more spiritual things once a year? Why is this so important? Well, the Church definitely values the power of the retreat. And she sees the retreat as having a capacity to give us something that we could not obtain in any other way. Just as the Israelites, like they had to use this stratagem to defeat their enemy of retreating. So too with us in our life. There's something that we can get from a retreat that we cannot get in any other way. And what I want to emphasize to the faithful is that if the Church believes that the retreat is so important for people who are vowed to God and giving their lives to God on a daily basis, how much more for you who are out in the world and doing your daily battle with your daily grind and getting worn down by the world? There are three main reasons why a retreat is so important and why I want to encourage you to consider going on a retreat next year, to make one of your resolutions for 2024 to go on a retreat. One of the reasons is what we might call spiritual entropy. You know that one of the laws of thermodynamics is that things lose energy over time. Just as a natural process, matter becomes less organized over time. This is also what happens with our own souls. We lose spiritual strength by a natural process over time, unless we're continually reboosting our souls. We will decline in our spirituality. The spiritual realm will become less real for us over time. And even if we have a spiritual life, which I hope we do, I mean, this is the reason why we have to have a spiritual life, just like we have to feed our body on a regular basis or we're going to die. So too, we have to feed our soul on a regular basis or we will lose the faith. We will turn away from God. But even the daily rejuvenation of our soul through our prayers, through our spiritual reading and so on, even that is not able to completely halt this process of the weakening of our soul over time, where we become cold to the things of God. And what we need periodically is something that's going to boost us to a new level. This is really going to take us to a new level suddenly, in a short time. And that's what a retreat is able to do. Another thing that we have to recognize is that the particular nature of our times leads us naturally to be very dissipated. Our times are so materialistic. Our times are so distracted, so superficial. Meanwhile, spiritual things are high. They're very noble. They require a certain quiet and recollection. They require an intensity of soul that is getting harder and harder to find because we're so superficial. Just under 100 years ago, Pope Pius XI wrote an encyclical all about retreats, an encyclical Mens Nostra, where he was encouraging people to go on retreats. And one of the things that he pointed out for the world of 1929, I think, applies so much more to our world of 2023 than it did when he was writing. And I want to quote what he says. He says, "The most grave disease by which our age is oppressed, and at the same time the fruitful source of all the evils deplored by every man of good heart, is that levity and thoughtlessness which carry men hither and thither through devious ways. Hence comes the constant and passionate absorption in external things. Hence the insatiable thirst for riches and pleasures that gradually weakens and extinguishes in the minds of men the desire for more excellent goods, and so entangles them in outward and fleeting things that it forbids them to think of eternal truths and of the divine laws and of God himself, the one beginning and end of all created things." And then he goes on to make this recommendation. Now, if we would cure this sickness from which human society suffers so sorely, what healing remedy could we devise more appropriate for our purpose than that of calling these enervated souls, so neglectful of eternal things, to the recollection of the spiritual exercises? We are so dissipated today. We are so empty today. And so we especially need time away where we detoxify ourselves from our superficiality. We purposely try to deepen ourselves by going on a silent retreat. Just think about how much peace and strength would come to your soul if you spent a week without the internet, without YouTube, without your cell phone, you know, constantly calling to you. How refreshed you would be when you came back from that experience. The third thing that I would like to point out that a retreat is so powerful for giving us is that it provides us perspective on our life. It enables us to see our life in a much clearer way than we can currently see it. It's like we're caught up in this river, and we're swimming in the river of life. And when we're in this river being swept along with the current, it's really hard for us to detach ourselves and take stock of where we are. Like, where have I come from? What are my habits? Where am I going? What's my true self? To really know ourselves deeply. And the retreat is so powerful for doing that. What happens when we go on retreat is like the first day, the second day, we have all this stuff bouncing around in our heads, all the stuff that's been going on in our lives. But then, just like if you stir a jar full of sand, you know, it's all floating around, but then you let it alone for a bit, everything settles to the bottom. And this is what happens in the first few days of the retreat. Everything in our life sort of settles down. And we begin to see things that we'd never have noticed unless we were living in that environment of silence. We begin to see, first of all, the proper priority of things in our lives. Like, what's really important in my life? Some of the things that have been happening we'll identify as being rather trivial. It's like, I was all worked up about this or that, but it was not really a big deal. Other things that we may have assessed as being rather ordinary and unimportant in our life, we begin to say, actually, this is extremely important, especially the things of our family and our faith. Besides that, as I say, being in that environment of silence helps us understand ourselves better and to say to ourselves, okay, what are my habits? What have been my bad habits for the past 20 years? What have been my good habits? What are the things in me that would cause the ruin of my soul, the ruin of my salvation? What are the things in me that are good that I need to continue to foster? Where am I going? What is my trajectory, my general trajectory in my life? Am I going to greater holiness, or am I declining as time goes on? How do I assess myself from 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and so on? The retreat that Pope Pius XI especially recommended in his encyclical, on spiritual exercises was the one that was developed by St. Ignatius. You may know the story that St. Ignatius, after his conversion, after he was hit by the cannonball, and he started reading saint stories, he decided to give his life to God. One of the things he did is he went to a place in Spain called Manresa, and he was living in this cave, and he was practicing extreme mortifications. And during this time, Our Lady appeared to him several times, and she revealed to him a certain way of doing a retreat, which he wrote down and began to be known as the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. And St. Ignatius, after he got this retreat from Our Lady, he started working with people one-on-one. He would take them aside, and he would work with them for a period of a month and run them through these meditations and these reflections that he had developed. And with many of them, it completely transformed their lives. You know that St. Francis Xavier was one of his initial retreatants. And he turned St. Francis Xavier from this lukewarm college student into one of the greatest missionaries the church had ever seen. There's also a story of this lukewarm priest. And like the bishop didn't know what to do with this priest. And he heard about these retreats that St. Ignatius was giving. And he's like, well, it can't hurt. Maybe he can do something with this priest. So St. Ignatius took this priest, did the exercises with him. When he returned to his parish, the people didn't know what happened. They were completely astonished. He was a completely different man from the way he was before. St. Ignatius was changing people's lives to such a degree that he was actually accused of practicing witchcraft. And he had to go before the Inquisition and defend himself. They're like, he must be like casting a spell on people to make them change so much through these spiritual exercises. But we priests have experienced the power of the spiritual exercises ourselves. We've had to attend them many times, including a 30-day retreat. We have also preached them. I myself have witnessed what an incredible impact it can have on souls to just spend 1 week in a retreat house doing the spiritual exercises. One of the blessings that we have with the Society of St. Pius X, one of the providential things that happened to us was that in our early days, we had a priest come to us, Father Ludovic Barriel, who was an expert in preaching the spiritual exercises. He belonged to a group of priests called the Cooperators of Christ the King, founded by Father Valette. What Father Valette did is he took the 30-day exercises of St. Ignatius and he reduced them to 5 days for the lay people, for the modern layman who doesn't have time to spend a month on retreat. And he was especially preaching these retreats in Spain. And the strongest Catholics during the Spanish Civil War were the ones who had benefited from these retreats. And so Father Barriel was an expert in preaching these retreats. He came to Icon in the early days of Icon, and he taught us how to preach these retreats. And it's one of our apostolates do these retreats. We have a beautiful retreat house near San Jose in California. It's a direct flight from Denver. There are retreats throughout the year, so it's a wonderful thing to do. At the end of the day, my dear faithful, we take time out for a lot of things, and it's so important that we take time out for our soul, to doctor our soul, to take care of our soul. We plan our vacations. We plan our amusements very, very attentively. And one of the things that happens today is people make their bucket lists, like all these things on the bucket. These are the things I have to do before I die. And what I'm saying is that one of the things you definitely want to do multiple times before you die is to go on a retreat. It has to be on your bucket list. If you haven't done it, you don't know what an incredible thing it is. Certainly, we come back from our vacations somewhat refreshed and ready to face life again with a new energy. But I assure you, you come back from a retreat so much more refreshed in your soul, because the retreat goes down to the deepest depths of your being and refreshes you there, renders you much more capable of facing your daily grind. So my dear faithful, this time of Advent is a time of recollection. It's a time of quiet anticipation. And the church proposes for us the model of St. John the Baptist. And he's such a great example for us of someone who knew how important quiet and recollection was, how important the strategy of a retreat is. Our Lord says today, you know, what did you go out into the desert to see? St. John the Baptist, at a young age, he went out to the desert to live in a state of quiet and recollection so he could strengthen himself for his mission. And he did such a great job that he fulfilled his mission so faithfully. Nothing could derail him from this mission of preaching our Lord, even when he was in prison. That did not shake him. So he was not flaky. He was not a reed shaken by the wind. If we want to be solid in our faith, if we want to be stable in our faith in very tumultuous times, one of the best things we can do is to go on a retreat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.